prepare the table that's going to be offered to look them over.
Yes, and those uses are not prohibited by the bill in the commission-managed lands. They are prohibited by the bill in those areas administered by the Forest Service. But most of the, all of the rural community areas, such as Corbett, are by and large within commission-managed lands. The hearts of those communities are within those lands that would be administered by the commission. The commission could designate areas for commercial development in there, could set standards for that in keeping with the nature of those communities.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hannon.
If that's true, then the gentleman that spoke that lives in Bridalville, but or lives in that area, but has a Corbett address, how would the, whose jurisdiction is he under?
I'd have to know more specifically where his property is. Okay. He says that he is in a special management area.
So he is, in essence, prohibited
from a commercial use.
From turning his house into a bed and breakfast.
I would say that that's probably a good observation.
By,
that's
by federal law?
By federal law. That standard doesn't change whether or not you enact this.
Okay, so we're not dealing with that issue.
Yeah.
We don't have to like it.
Well, no, I just wanted to clarify for the record that that is a federal issue that is raised separate and distinct from what we're doing here.
Yes. I wanted to give you a sense of the type of workload that this commission has in that first three-year period in terms of the work that it has to do. In addition, it also assumes from the Forest Service the reviewing development proposals for consistency with the Act. As while it is preparing this management plan. This is the workload, roughly, that we based this particular budget on, so you're aware of what that workload is. And the assumption was that the commission would fulfill the obligation or the requirements of the schedule given in the Act for completing those specific actions. We made...
One other quick thing is... is there any provision in the federal law, because we don't have it here, so I'm just having to ask you this, for the, in essence, word that's used many times, taking the economic value of a person's land through the downzoning of that land from the economic value up here down to here, is there any provision where they have to buy that person's land or compensate them for the taking of the value of that land?
Within the commission-managed areas, no. Within the Forest Service-administered special management areas, there are provisions for land acquisition and acquisition of less than full fee, conservation easements, or development rights. There's also provision within the special management area for land exchange.
But you said earlier that if once the commission's in place, then the Forest Service loses condemnation rights.
Right.
Then what happens to that land in that special preservation area that's not covered under Forest Service condemnation right? There's no taking provision or no compensation for the change in the land value.
No, there is no provision for that. There would be additional restrictions on that property. The option given to the property owner, though, is to go to the Forest Service and sell that property to the Forest Service. He has that option. And the Forest Service has roughly a three-year period from the time of the adoption of the management plan to accept that offer, and if they don't, those Forest Service regulations will be lifted from that property.
The Forest Service has a three-year option then on the purchase of land. Is that another way of looking at it?
No,
I just listened to that, and then to turn it around and run it by me the other way, it sounds as though they can't strike a deal. The Forest Service has an option for 3 years to still buy it. I don't want to hold it up.
Essentially what it is
some areas they don't have condemnation rights. If you don't have condemnation rights, they can't buy it. They can't force the sale. Forest Service.
I know that.
But in some areas they do. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
The intent of the delegation was once a property owner is aware of the final standards that will be placed on him in that special management area, that he have the option to sell that land to the Forest Service
for less than value.
Fair market value, and that would be based on pre-legislative conditions. not the existing regulations that would be in place in terms of the management plan. So the bill frames a framework in there for saying if the Forest Service cannot reach some sort of an agreement for purchase with this property owner within that 3-year period, or if the Forest Service simply says, no, we're not interested in acquiring your property, then that higher level of regulation that is provided for in special management areas would be lifted from that property, and the property owner would then fall under administration by the commission, which would be a less restrictive standard.
Now let me talk about the budget a little bit. The contracted services here conform to the federal requirements. Check that out.
Right.
Except for the inventory design.
Essentially,
we couldn't find out.
I beg your pardon?
We couldn't find that was on the page.
No, and what we've placed in there is before we go out and start gathering information, contracting for services, that we need to go out and find out, one, what is available currently from those sources, to develop procedures to collect that information and to maintain it in a consistent and uniform format. The Forest Service is also doing many of these same studies in the special management areas, and I think what we're saying here is we want to devise a database for these particular resources that will be consistent between the commission managed areas and the special management areas, that will develop a system of maintaining that information accurate and up to date over time. That's basically what that item is developing those procedures, looking at where we have information now, looking at, is it adequate, where does it need to be?
I'm not sure, why can't that then be done in-house?
We haven't provided for the expertise in terms of developing some of the rather sophisticated mechanisms that need to, or considerations that need to go into collecting that particular level of data.
Inventory design.
Inventory design.
Let's have a question mark by the item. Talk about that later, I guess. The travel, it's kind of interesting. Airfare for commission members.
Airfare for commission members.
Yeah, what's that about?
Essentially, what we looked at there was at least two of the governor's appointees could come from anywhere in the state.
Yeah.
And the provision was there that if in fact that was the case, there should be some contingency on allowing them to make it to the gorge.
I see. That question mark's still there. How many meetings commission planning on?
We calculated on a base of 58 meetings a year.
58 meetings?
58 meeting days.
Days in the biennial?
Per fiscal year.
Per year, 58. Yeah, that's pretty frequent meetings.
I think based on the level of staffing that we have and the involvement that this commission will have in terms of setting policy, getting this program up and running in those first few years, and I think a certain level of staff work that they will be doing, we felt that was a reasonable number of days to put in there.
See, what I'm thinking about is trying to find some way to make sure the counties are involved with you, because we talked earlier about the coordination.
Amen.
And how the master plan, whatever you call it, that you're going to develop, it ought to be developed jointly with the counties who are going to be expected to adopt it by ordinance. And you described, you have this information officer, some position that would be kind of talking to the counties. I was wondering if we couldn't build something here in the budget that made sure the counties were working with you, in developing the master plan.
I think the notion of an information officer, one going out and handing out press releases or reports or staff reports or tabloids, is one element, yes, that needs to be done, because there's been a lot of misinformation on this bill in the Columbia Gorge. And I think it's important that people are aware of what's going on. But I think probably the most crucial item that this particular individual would be doing would be setting up, one, public participation efforts. And we're talking about efforts of substance, getting local communities and local people involved in the planning process. The other element is coordinating these actions with the local jurisdictions, with the local counties, and the other agencies.
So you got to use your FLAC. It's what we call, you know, information companies, or FLACs, PR people, and they're usually programmed for output information. You've got to try to train this FLAC to develop a cooperative relationship with the counties. And yet, you earlier said, well, we're going to rely on local governments to provide us all kinds of technical assistance. So where's the...
Not all kinds of technical assistance. I think our perspective in looking at this is the counties, where the counties are going to come in terms of bearing expense on this particular mm-hmm. item, is developing their land use ordinances once that plan is done.
That's a basic difference that we have. You seem to be describing a system where you develop the master plan. You say, here, counties, adopt it. You don't have any choice, county. What I'm suggesting is bringing the counties in from the beginning and jointly developing the master plan.
I don't think we're in disagreement on this particular point, because this is the way the existing commissions have worked for years, is in terms of a very close operating relationship with all the jurisdictions involved. I would not see that changing. What I'm saying is going to the counties and placing on them a tremendous burden to provide or do a lot of major planning functions in the development of the management plan, and then have them turn around and have to also bear the burden of developing the ordinances or revising the ordinances. What I'm saying is we provide them with the opportunity, we involve them in the development of the management plan, but essentially the staffing and administrative costs of developing that plan are the commissions.
How much discussions have occurred between yourself and counties?
On this particular item, we talked about what type of expertise and what type of involvement the counties would like to have with every one of the Gorge counties.
Mm-hmm. And
they're anxious to participate, they need to.
That's true. I know they're anxious to participate, but are they also anxious to have you hire the staff to do the planning for them? And they can participate, but you're going to have the professional planning staff doing the planning. Are they anxious for that?
Most of the counties do not have the planning staff to commit to doing this. When we talk to them about what sort of planning expertise we should have on board, we talk specifically about this. And we talk specifically about getting some experienced planners, those that have the experience in terms of dealing with the public and other public agencies, so that we have that expertise on board, rather than going out and getting an entry-level planner that hasn't had that type of field experience.
Have you thought about contracting with counties for some of that expertise? Hood River County in particular is well known for their ability to plan scenic areas. They're probably the only county in the state of Oregon that's been able to, on its own, designated scenic area in the Columbia Gorge. That's pretty, coming from the Interim Committee on Land Use, I was real impressed with the kind of work they've done. What did you talk with them about?
We were with them. We helped them develop that ordinance. We were right there from the beginning. And I think that's the cooperative spirit that we're talking about here. We're not talking about hiring a professional planning staff. I mean, obviously, we're only talking about two planning positions that are going to supersede all the planning staff and resources in those counties. If we were, I think you'd see some substantially different staffing recommendations in this particular budget.
Senator Wires.
How does this work with this two-state cooperation? Is there going to be a budget of roughly the same kind of figures presented in Washington?
Yes.
In fact, the Act says that it'll be equal expenditures by state governments, and then that will also result in equal benefits from the feds down the line to each state. I mean, share.
Well, then what would happen if we cut this figure to $500 instead of $560? And Washington, then could they only approve $500?
They could approve more, but the commission's ability to expend would be reduced. In other words, you'd have to match dollar for dollar. If one state appropriates less, that one state essentially defines what the maximum match is.
Has Washington's Budget Committee taken action yet?
No, they haven't.
Have they started?
No, they have not.
Or have?
Yes, you have.
Well, then we can...
We can drive this one.
Yeah. What's that term that Norm Winningstead likes to use about this being a net sum or plus-plus? This is a minus-minus, isn't it? Whoever's most stingy calls the tune? Is that the way this is set up?
To a point.
Yeah, it is.
Well, if we make some decisions, we probably will have a little more influence at this point in time over the state of Washington than where we can come later.
We can get out and lead, yeah.
Yeah.
But what is there to protect? What is the federal legislation? What's to protect this whole act from being torpedoed by a legislative body in one of the states deciding only appropriate $50,000? I don't want to do that. Don't get me wrong.
There's nothing.
There's nothing. So we were presented with a fait accompli in substance, but a lot of discretion in the dollar and in the Navy. But wouldn't the federal government then just turn around and what would happen then? If this three-year business would take place, where after 3 years, then, okay.
We'd just be slow. We wouldn't develop something that met federal standards. If we underfunded it significantly, then we'd fail our job and then take over.
And the federal government would take over at the end of 3 years or something. Well, I've got the floor. I didn't quite understand. I'm not sure Senator Thorne did either. He didn't want to answer one of his questions. If the Forest Service and a landowner in their area don't agree to a buy-sell agreement, you said then that the restrictions are lifted after 3 years.
If the Forest Service does not, it has that three-year deadline, again, I believe it's from the time the management plan is completed,
okay,
and a property owner comes and he makes a bona fide offer to sell at fair market value, and if the Forest Service does not conclude that acquisition action within that three-year time frame, then the special management area regulations would be lifted from that property unless the property owner agreed to an extension of that timeline.
And then what kind of restrictions would it have? Just the general restrictions by the...
By the commission.
The commission?
Yes.
Well, why would the Forest Service have more detailed or restrictive standards than restrictions than the commission generally?
As the Act is structured, there are basically two types of land designations: general management areas that the commission would oversee and special management areas. The special management areas were judged as being the most sensitive or significant lands within the gorge, and as such, more restrictive standards were placed on those lands.
And those more restrictive ones aren't all under the Forest Service.
Yes.
Even if it's private land outside the Forest Service, you've got them temporarily out of the Forest Service.
If it's all within the special management area, it is under the Forest Service jurisdiction. And the stricter provisions within the Act apply to all those lands within the special management area boundary.
There's some local government folks out there. Do you want to testify on this budget before everybody goes away to meetings? Yes, you do.
I think there are some
Mr. Falls.
Folks.
Yeah, that's true. Is there any general statement? Why don't you come forward and so we'll talk. Do you still do land use for the county?
Yes, Mr.
I just can't keep up with the county.
We can't keep up with ourselves.
You
thought
said
he was the animal control man.
Well, that too. There's no animals out today. For the record, Mr. Chairman.
That's the nicest compliment I've had all day.
Gordon Foltz with the Association of Working Counties.
What the subcommittee has been talking about among itself is maybe finding some help here in the budget to ensure that counties are participating right along with the commission as we as a master plan is developed. So what's your sense of that kind of policy direction?
Well, I think that from our standpoint, we have had some calls from the counties that are affected here interested in two things particularly. One is whether or not they could be in a position of contracting for doing some of the specific planning related to the gorge, and also concerned about the cost that might be evident for counties not directly related but indirectly related to the gorge planning responsibilities, and whether or not what's in the budget would encompass those two particular features. And to be honest with you, I'd rather have them tell you their specific concerns, but those are what we have heard so far from counties affected by the legislation. And I think our interest, of course, is to be sure that counties are integrally involved in both phases of that. But how much money is available is a major feature as to whether they are or they are not.
Okay, Representative Jones.
Yeah, and Gordon, have you looked into the possibility of some, the devaluation of property and in lieu of payment from somebody, preferably the federal government, for local government, filling that gap, because it has a habit of happening. You know, and then your tax base is gone to heck.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, we have not at this point evaluated that situation, but we do plan to do that.
Mr. Chairman, mm-hmm. Wouldn't the Forest Service situation, if it changes there, comes under the commission through these conversations we've had, then we would lose the ability to harvest that forest, probably. So then we lose a real one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to examine all of the consequences, I think, of that. But at this point, what we're concerned about is what might be the additional planning responsibilities and whether or not our counties are capable of doing some of the specific work that's called for under this particular plan. I know that Hood River County is planning to be here tomorrow. Multnomah County, which, of course, is in a position where they cannot lobby, we'll try to perhaps provide the committee at your request with information on their concerns.
But poor Multnomah County. Gee.
There's a chance the committee has concerns about that. We'd like to get at least a chance.
Where is most of it? Isn't it in Hood River and Wasco, really?
I think that there is some concern that has been expressed by Multnomah County.
We have heard from some folks from Multnomah County.
Yeah, those are the two that have indicated an interest in what might be the indirectly related planning cost. Multnomah County has expressed an interest in doing some of the work on the specifics in the funding that's there currently. So what I will try to do, Mr. Chairman, is to get you some information, at least from Multnomah County, and I think you'll have some information tomorrow presented by Hood River County, who might also have some information on Wasco County.
Representative Jones.
You were Gordon North. How far east is the line? How far is it?
Past the Dalles, I'm sure.
Deschutes
River. Highway 97. Right?
The 97.
Yeah.
And does that involve another county? I forgot where my county
is. No,
county
is involved. Multnomah,
Red River, and Wasco.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Weiss.
Gordon, is anybody going to talk tomorrow about anybody's plan on how we could do anything to encourage the commission to decide after they are duly constituted to cite the headquarters in Oregon?
And that is not one of our agenda items, Senator Wires, but I can appreciate the desire to do that. Perhaps Hood River County would have an interest in doing that, and they may well present it, but I'm not knowledgeable if they're going to make any comments about it tomorrow. It's an issue we have not considered as an association. I'm not sure the three counties have really had it. But it may well become one.
I'm not a person that comes up with these intricate plans like local government people can, but it just crossed my mind that if we could put in here that the budget would be $200,000 if the headquarters is in Washington. $580,000 if it was in Oregon.
You may generate some interest there. Yeah.
I was hoping you'd have a sophisticated plan.
Well,
it wasn't so obvious.
Do you have any?
No, nothing like that. We'll go back to the drawing board, though, and then take a look at that.
My understanding is that the leadership, I use that term without specific reference, feels that if we move out in ahead of Washington, and when we meet with them, we hand them a passed bill, that our hand is strengthened. It also occurs to me that if we have the cooperation of local governments, we may be able to assist the state of Washington in including their local governments, and so that this thing happens more peacefully than it otherwise might.
That's a good suggestion. Well, having grown up in Hood River, I can't imagine why anybody would want it anywhere else, but I do know my great-grandparents in the 1880s, when they came and settled, they chose the Washington side. I never know exactly why, but that worries me a little.
Yeah.
We're all worried. It might be another misguided decision.
But so anyway, what you're saying is the counties really are willing to cooperate and they would like to be very much involved in some of the technical aspects of this, but they have a little financial concern.
That's correct.
Okay.
And again, you'll hear more specifics tomorrow.
Okay. Well, anybody else have anything to say about this budget bill? If not, then I'll close the public hearing. And tomorrow, then, we'll try to act so that we can send this bill to the full committee by Friday morning. If there are any questions anybody wants to communicate, you don't have much time. We're adjourned.
Oh, boy.
You didn't see your name, Ben.